Welcome to God and Country Radio, a program that discusses current social, political, prophetic events in the life of Scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey. To be honest, there's just so much going on, I don't even know where to begin. Every place we turn, we see the anti-gospel, the spirit of the Antichrist, from transgenderism to racial protests to the cancel culture. Our country has gone insane because the nation has abandoned God and truth. Since the Bible was thrown out of public schools and the public square in the 1960s, and the universities began to teach secular humanism, it's taken some time for the remnants of the Christian culture to erode. But now we're beginning to reap the fruit of the godlessness. We're seeing what happens when the biblical values that we have taken for granted are rejected by a nation. As the prophet Jeremiah wrote, "The wise men are put to shame. They are dismayed and caught because they have rejected the word of the Lord, and what kind of wisdom do they have?" These words from God to the prophets, to ancient Israel in her apostasy, are given to be lessons for all future generations. So, there are many things that could be said about our current situation. We could talk about how it is modeled for us in ancient Israel's apostasy. We could talk about how this is the fulfillment of prophecy and where it will all lead. Or we could talk about specific examples of the current apostasy, like pundits are talking about every week as each news item unfolds. But for today, let's talk about why this is all happening. Because if we can understand why this is happening and learn to communicate to others why this is happening, it will greatly help our witness for Christ to this generation. Because Satan wants nothing more than to keep people in the dark concerning why they're feeling or believing or doing what they're feeling, believing, or doing. If the church comes along and tells the truth and exposes the lie, that could ruin everything for Satan. Souls might wake up, realize the lies of the devil and the deceitfulness of sin, and turn to God and be saved. So, the question is why? Why are major corporations banding together to boycott Georgia's new voter laws? Why was the black city manager in Minneapolis fired after he said that the police officer who shot Dante Wright will get due process? Why are there riots and protests as George Floyd's trial is being conducted? Why are BLM and Antifa activists stopping cars and demanding people say that they support BLM? Why is Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib tweeting out that there needs to be no more policing, no more incarceration? Why does CNN's technical director, Charlie Chester, get caught on camera saying that CNN created and slanted stories to get rid of President Trump, that CNN is out to help BLM, and that CNN is now going to use fear to push climate change? And why are Google and Facebook censoring conservative sites and voices? Why does the New York Times say racism is in our DNA? Why is transgenderism and homosexuality being supported as a virtuous civil rights movement? Why is a statement like, "I'm a woman trapped in a man's body," accepted as legitimate? Why are boys being allowed to compete in girls' sports? Why do university students want to make safe spaces on campus where conservative ideas are prohibited? Why is conservative speech considered violence and oppression? Why are the police considered criminals in the shooting of Adam Toledo, when in other generations, the media and the community would have put all of the blame on the gangs that gave Adam Toledo the gun? Why is the current administration allowing the inflow and crisis at the border? Why is the social justice movement being called being woke, being awakened? And why is there no moral reverse in the current moral direction of our country, even though there are hundreds of conservative sites chronicling and exposing the hypocrisy and the madness of the left? Now, the answer to all of those questions may seem like a variety of answers. But the point I want to make here is that it all comes down to one single answer. It all stems from one root. You don't have to explain it all in your witness. All you have to do is explain the single root. Over the past few weeks, I've been reading some pretty heady books and articles attempting to explain why all of these things are happening in our country. And although they make some good points, they all skirt around the core root. Remember the prophet John? He preached that the axe must be laid to the root of the tree, Luke chapter 3, verse 9. In the context, the tree had bad fruit. But the problem is not solved by picking off the bad fruit, but by getting to the root of the tree that's producing the bad fruit. Now, maybe the intellectuals don't address the root because they don't know what the root is, or they don't believe the root, or they're ashamed of the root. We're not hearing the biblical answer to the problem. But sharing or proclaiming the biblical explanation is the only way to stop the evil, if it's to be stopped at all. Addressing the true root of the problem is the only way we can effectively be a witness to our neighbors. Because if in our discussion with others we get caught up in all the peripheral issues surrounding the various news stories, we're going to crash and burn in our witness. Has that ever happened to you? You get talking with a coworker about the crisis at the border or the George Floyd situation, and you defend some sort of Christian worldview about those events, but you never seem to get anywhere. So, what's the root? Why are these things happening? Well, we could simply say, as Alexander Solzhenitsyn said, when asked why did the communists and the ensuing madness overtake Russia, he said, because men have forsaken God. And that's true. And if you could only get 8 words into the conversation, that explanation would work. This has happened because men have forsaken God. Let's see, that's 8 words, isn't it? But the question is, what does that look like? We must go on to explain to people the details of this primal rebellion being waged against God. And what are the justifications or excuses, as explained in the biblical account? It's not very complicated. It's all found in Genesis chapter 3, but it does need to be explained. Because people are under the power of the evil one, under the deceitfulness of sin, they don't see the real issues at stake. The primary issue is that every man is in rebellion against God and God's ways, wanting to live autonomous from God, wanting to make his feelings and his beliefs the standards. Modern man can't imagine a law or standard of behavior coming from outside of himself. In order to be genuine, he believes he must follow his own desires. No longer is there this belief that man is a fallen soul, that what we desire is corrupt. Since the philosophers of the Enlightenment, mankind has been taught that we're good and we must follow our own heart. That's considered the foundation for morality and virtue, not the law of God, which is external to us, which goes against our nature. Personal freedom is now the highest value. And that's how all of this wokeness is being sold. You're a victim and you need to be freed from oppression. And it's the law of God and the remnant of Christian virtues that are the source of that oppression. It's nothing more than the old lie of Satan being repackaged with modern lingo. Genesis 3:5, you shall surely not die, for God knows in the day that you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Do you hear what Satan's saying here? God is oppressing you by keeping you from the forbidden fruit, by having these rules. He is the bully. He is the oppressor. He is hurting your feelings. He is making you feel other. If you want to progress and have happiness and freedom, eat the forbidden fruit. Become independent of God and his law. It's the same lie today. Go with your inner sinful feelings of lust and greed and bitterness and victimization. Rebel against God's law concerning sexual behavior. Consider your depraved lust as being good and a part of you. Make them your identity. Go with your authentic self. Believe in yourself and you'll be free. That's humanism. That's a satanic worldview. That's Antichrist. Every one of those why questions I began with is rooted in this philosophy that God is the oppressor and we must rebel against God's law in order to be happy. I was recently reading a piece explaining why students want safe spaces on university campuses. Why all of a sudden the students are so offended by ideas that make them feel bad or ideas that contradict their opinions? Well, because the philosophy departments and the English departments have been teaching for years that truth comes from within yourself. You are a God, therefore, your psychological well-being is supreme. Your will should not be thwarted. The outward culture, particularly the Christian culture, is oppressive in that it's attempting to conform you or to change you. So as long as someone outside of yourself is trying to change the way you feel, you are being violated. You are being oppressed. And all of those external traditional truths are merely social constructs created by the powerful to oppress you. Now, of course, there are evil, powerful people who oppress, but now the powerful oppressor is God himself and Christian virtue. Quote from one author, "That which challenges or attempts to falsify my psychological beliefs about myself and thus to disturb my sense of inner well-being is by definition harmful and to be rejected." So therefore, these students believe that they need to be affirmed and reassured, not corrected or challenged. And that's what college safe spaces are all about. That's what the slogan, "Speech is violence," is all about. Whereas the Christian message is that we're sinners, we're rebels, we need to be convicted by the truth, feelings of guilt are redemptive, because we need to repent of who we are. But this generation has been taught the humanist mindset that guilt is violence done against you. How dare this God make you feel guilty? And so the world is saying with Cain, "My punishment is unfair." The son of Adam and Eve, Cain, took Adam and Eve's rebellion to the next logical conclusion. Adam and Eve hid in shame when they sinned, but Cain complained that God's punishment was unfair and oppressive. So realize this, at the end of the age, mankind will fully return to the primal rebellion in the garden. Mankind will join with Satan in his war against God. Now, in regard to university safe spaces, the hypersensitivity of students to ideas that offend them is rooted in a humanistic belief in their own goodness. Now, universities have traditionally been places where students would go to be conformed to higher social values, even liberal ones. But now, many faculty members are surprised that these students are incorrigible and unteachable. Well, of course, because look at what humanism has taught them. Even liberalism eventually eats itself. Look also at what is happening in America against the police. How come these woke individuals are protesting in the streets, saying no more policing? Because policing is a Christian God law concept. Romans chapter 13, the magistrate is to be an avenger against evildoers, but this generation believes punishment for crime is oppression. It's a violation of your authentic self. Therefore, the police need to reaffirm and assure, not punish. They need to be social workers, not law enforcers, because law is oppression. These leftists do not believe in sin. That's why they're saying things like policing is not working in America. It's not working for them given their view of sin and justice. Now, all of these woke protesters and supporters may not carry out the humanistic philosophy to its logical conclusion. They're not all looting the department stores. They're not all saying I'm a victim and I have a right to steal for reparations. But in their subconscious, these leftist voters identify with the underlying philosophy that I'm not a sinner and I should not be policed. They also want their abortion and their sexual freedom. So here's a principle. Rebellion against God comes in various degrees, but it all stems from the same root. Those who are not as woke as others in their rebellion may complain about those who are further along in their rebellion, but it's still the same rebellion. And it all eventually leads to the same place. So I've discussed college safe spaces, riots against the police. Now, what about all of the racial tension in our country today? How does that go back to man's primal rebellion against God in the garden? Let me reference an interview I heard recently with Shelby Steele. He's a black philosopher. And Dr. Steele's contention is that the cries of racism is a source of power for certain people in the black community. Everyone tries to find power or identity in something. Usually people try to find it in their work or in their character. But for many in the black community, particularly their false teachers, like we have in the white community, cries of racism gives them political and social power. It silences their enemies. It gets for them entitlements. Rather than the biblical teaching of getting your influence by your good works, the satanic way is to get your influence by claiming victimization, by using other people's moral guilt, and by judging others to get power for yourself. In the words of Shelby Steele, critical race theory allows blacks and minorities to exercise power in the political arena. Critical race theory is 100% negative. It's an illness. It is the worst and the ugliest part of man. No KKK or white supremacist could produce racism better than critical race theory. The black community uses victimhood against a larger society. My victimization is my entitlement, my power, my income, my rights. The only source of power is our victimization, so we think. It opens doors for us. So we embrace our victimization as if it's the essence of blackness. Unquote Shelby Steele. And notice that the homosexual and the transgender community also strive to gain power over religious people by claiming victimization. In the minds of many people, this gives them moral authority, since for many people, the highest value is equality. And this was the essence of Cain's excuse to try to get some moral authority over God, claiming that God was treating him unfairly. My punishment is too great for me to bear. And this was the excuse Satan used with Eve to get her to justify her rebellion against God's law, telling Eve that she's a victim of God's oppression. So here's another principle. Never seek to find your identity in your race, never to seek to find your power in victimhood, but only seek to find it in obedience to God. Now, the larger culture may not be aware of all of the teachings of critical race theory, but being unsaved, being autonomous from God and being in rebellion to God, and being bitter themselves, they identify with the victimhood narrative. So that in school districts, in legislatures, in political parties, in corporations, critical race theory, white privilege ideology is all the rage. It's America's new religion. One final example of the primal rebellion in the garden taking over our current culture is Ibram Kendi. He wrote How to Be an Anti-Racist, one of the Bibles in the BLM movement, a New York Times bestseller. The book is a Titus chapter 1, verse 10 example. Rebellious men, empty talkers, deceivers, who must be silenced because they're upsetting whole households. I was originally going to do a critique on this book, which I still may do someday. But the error behind all of his writings, he summed up in a recent symposium at the Judson Memorial Church in Manhattan. Quoting Kendi here will take some time, but you have to hear this if you're to understand what's happening in our world today. He was asked the question, what role does the church play in the anti-racism movement? And his answer is the core ideology and the lie of Satan himself. Kendi answered, I'm a preacher's kid, and my parents met in what was known as the Black Power Movement. but more specifically, the movement for black theology. So they are both Christians who imagined that the church was supposed to be engaged in liberation. That Christianity was supposed to be a source of liberation for black people. And what I sort of ultimately realized in analyzing the form of Christianity that they were raised in, particularly during the black theology movement, and contrasting that with the form of Christianity that 80% of white evangelicals have when they voted for Donald Trump, one of the ways we can distinguish it is one being liberation theology. In other words, Jesus was a revolutionary, and the job of Christianity is to revolutionize society. That the job of the Christian is to liberate society from the powers on earth that are oppressing humanity. That's liberation theology in a nutshell. Savior theology is a different kind of theology. The job of the Christian is to go out and save these individuals who are behaviorally deficient. In other words, we're to bring them into the church, these individuals who are doing all of these evil, sinful things, and heal them and save them. And then once we have saved them, we have done our job. And to me, anti-racists fundamentally reject savior theology that goes right in line with racist ideas. Racist theology, they say black people and other racial groups, the reason why they are struggling on earth is because of what they are behaviorally doing wrong. And it's my job as a pastor to sort of save those wayward black people or those wayward poor people or those wayward queer people. That type of theology breeds bigotry. And so for me, the type of theology, liberation theology, breeds a common humanity against the structures of power that oppress us. Unquote, Kendi. Did you get all that? So here's what Kendi and all of these leftists who are taking over the culture are saying. They're claiming that savior theology is racist because it seeks to change the individual's sinful behavior rather than affirming it. The solution to man's ills in savior theology is a new birth, conversion. The solution to man's ills in liberation theology is to stop social oppression, which is exactly what unsaved people want. They reject repentance, but they want deliverance from boundaries and laws. They want to throw off the Christian culture and Christian virtues. Notice that Kendi includes with wayward black people, queer people. So the anti-racist movement is not your father's civil rights movement. It's using the language of racism and oppression against God and Christian truth. So the whole rebellion in our age is very simple. It comes down to, I am God, and the creator, God, is the oppressor. It's just the same old lie of Satan used in the garden. It was the claim of Satan the moment he fell from heaven. Isaiah 14:14, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. I'm out of time, so I'm going to have to end here. My YouTube edition of this program will actually look at the 3-minute clip of Kendi's interview. It's just a good example of the satanic ideology that's taken over our world. But don't fear. The day of the Lord is coming. And right now, God invites you and I to leave the kingdom of Satan and become citizens of the kingdom of God by faith and repentance in Jesus Christ. So thank you for listening today. The radio website to listen to this program again or other past programs is godandcountryradio.org. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, help your people not to be deceived and distracted by all of the rhetoric of our day. Help us to communicate to this lost world those fundamental issues that decide between heaven and hell. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.